Hi, it's Mark Bittman, and welcome to Food. As always, you can email us at food@markbittman.com. Tell us your joys, your sorrows, your complaints, your support. We'd like to hear everything, and we will respond. Consider, please, also subscribing to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts and rating it highly, of course. And check out our newsletter. It comes out almost every day. It's called The Bittman Project, and you'll find it at bittmanproject.com. It's fabulous.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Have you ever bought something, owned something that really inspired you to up your game? A tennis racket, a new pair of running shoes, a new piece of cooking equipment that made you just want to cook your brains out? I know that when I first started cooking on induction burners, I just couldn't stop. It was so much fun. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Some of the features that are available on this car include Dynamic Sky Panorama Glass Roof, Front Row Massaging Seats, you know you want that, available 33-inch all-terrain tires, which you will want when you check out the Multi-Terrain Select. These are really great features, the kind of features that will make you proud and happy to own a Lexus GX. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. We have a guest today that Kate and I liked so much. We're going to be cooking with her in a few weeks, and you'll hear about that. But first, when we got Abby Balangit's first cookbook, Mayumu, in the mail, I was blown away by how beautiful and how cool it was. It's filled with Filipino-inspired desserts, not traditional Filipino and certainly not traditional American. But Abby lives in Brooklyn and was raised in the Bay Area and the Central Valley of California. But Abby's own wonderful melding of the two kinds of cuisines, it's so much fun. So, for example, Sopin Sopin is a tri-layered rice cake that typically features tropical flavors, but Abby's version is inspired by Good Humor strawberry shortcake bars, and why not? I could have one of those now, with toasted coconut curds and freeze-dried strawberries. And pumpkin hopia, hopia is a Filipino flaky pastry similar to a mooncake and usually filled with sweetened yellow mung beans. When I say that Abby's sweets are beautiful, well, you really just have to see for yourself. Check out the cookbook. Abby started her blog, The Dusky Kitchen, in 2020, and shortly after that was offered a book deal. Maybe that's why she calls the Dusky Kitchen a little baking blog that could. It happened very fast, to the point where she wasn't even sure she could come up with enough recipes for a book. Turned out she's friendly with our colleague and Bittman Project and podcast contributor Holly Haynes, and Holly is also obsessed with Abby's baking. And so the three of us decided to chat. These two have wonderful energy, and their adoration for each other is clear. We had a great time, and as I said, we'll all be cooking together late next month, I think. Abby, welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm a fan of both of you, so it's like a pleasure to be here.
We're going to start with your blog, which is called The Dusky Kitchen, and you call it a little baking blog that could, and yet very soon after you started it, an agent approached you and asked if you wanted to write a cookbook, which is how your gorgeous book, Mayumu, was born. And I'm going to quote you. I wasn't even sure if I had it in me to create so many of my own recipes. Yet you did. So the first obvious question is, how did you pull this all together?
You know, I think I had a good maybe year of brainstorming in between when you know you have a cookbook deal and then when you actually get to write with your editor and them double checking a table of contents to make sure that you're on the right track. So it was kind of surreal when I was first starting to recipe develop and pretty much test recipes in my apartment. I was just kind of going at hyper speed after having a few months to kind of just like be idle and just like write things in my notes app where I was just like, okay, this recipe I want to do, this recipe I'm thinking of, I'm not completely there. And that was definitely kind of just like 90% of everything just wasn't fleshed out until January 2022 till May 2022.
You worked fast. It really worked fast. And these are some wacky recipes. Maybe wacky. I mean wacky in the best sense. They are unusual.
I love that. I prefer something wacky than something boring, for sure.
Yeah, good.
This is really the first time I'm seeing the way I cook and the way I think about Filipino flavors in a book. And I know at the beginning you mentioned your parents immigrating to the U.S. in the late 80s, as did my mother. Unfortunately, she had to assimilate immediately and didn't really have Filipino food when she first moved to Philadelphia. But it sounds like your parents didn't have that issue and you got to grow up with all of the delicious Filipino foods. So which ones were your favorites growing up?
You know, my mom, her specialty, and I think I talk about this in the book too, it's like cassava cake and also maja blanca. And those are kind of desserts where it's like big, big Pyrex 9x13 glass pans of just like, I guess like custardy, but also I guess just like comforting flavors that, you know, at every Filipino party, we would just have that every single time. And my mom is the type of person who is very consistent of like, this is her thing and she'll do this literally for like people will be expecting it to be there. And so I love like flavors of coconut and just like very, very, I guess like warm tones of just like nice, you know, vanilla. And that's just kind of just like what I remember the most from her. And, you know, for me, I was just like, oh, I can't like do her thing because it's like kind of encroaching on her territory. And that was kind of maybe why in the pandemic, I was like, okay, time to switch on to Filipino flavors. My mom isn't here and she's not going to be here for a minute. And she lives in California for reference, and I live in New York. And so it was something where I really tapped into like a lot of memories growing up with her and my family to kind of really go for this book and for my blog.
For me, it feels like the nostalgia of my childhood, the flavors of my childhood, but just presented in such a new and fresh way. And I love that so much.
Oh, thank you, Holly. It is like, yeah, I'm like a fan of your food so much. And every time on Twitter, I'm always like, Holly's making something good in the kitchen that I want to try and I can't because you're in San Diego. So I'm always like, come, I want like smell-o-vision and like actual like technology to advance there and not in AI anymore. Like, this is what we need to work on.
Yes, I agree.
Well, we just talked about your mom making cassava cakes and Maya Blanca, but she thought, I guess we should say that Mayumu means sweet in Kampampangan.
Mm-hmm.
And your your mom thought that American desserts, I don't know, were too mayumu? Like, just too stark, too one-dimensional? What?
Yeah, my mom, she is, like, my mom and my dad, I feel like, just have that palate where it's like, okay, like, anything that's like, you know, American buttercreams are just like straight up powdered sugar, butter, and that's pretty much it. And they just like hate that. They'd always scrape off frosting at like birthday parties.
Oh man, if it's that's not incredible. Like an,
you know, like Asian bakeries, though, we love like a simple whipped cream and fresh fruit. And that's usually what I remember growing up too. And I think that's just kind of a thing where it is like a compliment if your desserts are not too sweet. From anyone that I know who's like an Asian mom or aunt or uncle.
Interesting, because I do think of, especially Southeast Asian desserts as being pretty sweet, but I guess you're right. They're not as straight sugar as like, buttercream frosting for sure. And then I think, well, what do I actually like in American desserts? And I always think that it's coconut cake is always my favorite thing. Not that it's not sweet, but there must be something about coconut that just coconut and almond and stuff like that, that just brings that extra dimension.
Yeah, I get that though, because I think that a lot of, you know, like natural, like coconut palm sugar has this like earthiness that also tones down like the sweetness of things, where growing up having that kind of like sugar around also helped curb sweetness a bit. But coconut cake, like American coconut cake, I also really love. And it's like eight layer cakes. Oh my God. I can devour those pretty easily too.
It has to have a very high percentage of coconut though to be really good. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about American? I guess there is such a thing as American desserts. Like, do you think that too, that American desserts are too sweet, or you've sort of swung the pendulum in the other direction?
Growing up, it's like, this is what my mom made. But at school, I would have this, or like I'd go to, you know, the grocery store and I'd get some Hostess things.
Twinkies,
my mom,
right?
You know, I'd sneak it into the cart because my mom wasn't happy about it. But I do think that it's just like a sense where it's like, oh, I did grow up with both of these things together, where like Western desserts and also like my Filipino parents and bakeries were around at the same time. And so I do gravitate, I think, in my baking repertoire of like, I know how to make cakes and cookies and blondies and brownies. I think that's like what I first think of making. And then learning how to do like traditional rice cakes and other like chilled desserts are something's in my brain where I'm like, okay, this is something I have to kind of, you know, learn how to make, because I was just eating it and not actually making it when I was a kid.
In the book, you write about the preconceptions of what's possible for both Filipino and American desserts. And I'm sure we're aware of the American preconceptions, but tell me about some of the Filipino preconceptions that you've come across.
Oh, you know, I think that a lot of people with, you know, Filipino desserts specifically, they always want ube, and they're always looking for that specifically and like that color. And, you know, I love it too. And I think there's a lot of ube in the book interspersed throughout. But I think it's, you know, hard to get past that point in like mainstream media, where I think people are still starting to really get into pandan. And, you know, coconut is, you know, pretty universal, especially in more vegan baking and everything. And so there's so much there where I'm like, oh, but, you know, we have such more bounty in like tropical like ingredients and flavors that we can really like hit and try, that people might not realize, like, okay, like for me, I think I've stretched it to a point where, you know, sometimes I think that lychee is not exclusive to being a Filipino ingredient. It's definitely like Southeast Asian and a beloved, like juicy, refreshing fruit. But like, you know, I think there's so much where it's like, oh yeah, but like this is inspired and I can do that in like a Madeleine. And there's something that that's not French at all, having lychee in it. But it is kind of fun to kind of run the gamut of what is Filipino, actually, if it's not just, you know, ube itself.
Right. I agree. I always get pushed in the ube rabbit hole.
Yeah. And I'm like, I love ube. I really do. And I think this is a thing where it's like, there's so many applications where it's great to use, but it's a shame that it is actually really hard to get fresh. And there's so many, you know, obstacles to that.
I was getting bamboozled at my local shop. Well, yamboozled, if you will. Because I thought I was buying ube, and it was just good old Japanese purple yams. But the label said ube, and I was like, look at me getting fresh ube. And someone was like, not that.
Yeah. the Okinawan sweet potatoes. That's not even the same
texture. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about what ube is before we go much further, since you guys are like doing shop talk at the moment. You're two Filipino ladies talking to one another, but yeah. So either of you can take that.
I mean, I'll start. I think, Holly, you can fill in the gaps. I feel like you have a great, like, farm, like, knowledge repertoire of, like, produce that is beyond me. But, like, so Filipino yam, purple yam is what ube is. And it comes in, like, you know, different shades of different colors of different types. And so, like, you will see it in the Philippines. Like, there's some where it's, like, kind of lilac-hued, lilac and white, like, straight, deep, deep purple. And so the thing with ube is that right now, as of, you know, the farmers making it in the Philippines and kind of, you know, dispersing it to everyone else, it's not necessarily like a centralized growing system where each farmer has their own kind of like, okay, we'll give it to some neighbors or we'll give it to, you know, whoever else. And so it's hard because I think the conversation with sustainability with ube is something where, you know, there's just like, there has to be a different way of hopefully producing more of it because of such high demand, but at a pace that is good and right with like the farmers there. And so it's something where I, like, one of my friends that is in Brooklyn is trying to grow some ube in his backyard.
Wow.
But it is like a really long cycle where it takes like months for the first crop to come in. And you're literally just like, this one ube will just plant it again to get another one for next year. So it is a really long growing process. But Holly, please take it away. I'm just saying, you know, general surface level.
No,
it is
elusive to get fresh, more so than I thought it was. The flavor is really subtle and kind of hard to describe. I describe it as like an earthy vanilla.
And sweet or not sweet by itself?
Not sweet by itself. I wouldn't say not as sweet as a sweet potato. More along the lines of like taro, I would say.
But it's like a taste that if you grow up with, you crave it?
Yes.
It's familiar. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I know you've talked about this a lot, but I do have to ask you about the treat boxes, the pasalubong that you made during the pandemic. I remember one specifically, you made like a pork floss and miso caramel brownie.
Oh my, yeah. I remember thinking that was like so cool.
It pissed me off that I didn't think of it first.
It's funny because that is something where, yeah, both of you, I would wish to bake this for you at some point. And it's not necessarily in the book, but there is a champurrado recipe that's like miso and like a butterscotch and also like pork floss into like a rice porridge that is there. Mm. But for the pasalubong treat boxes, that was in the first round of boxes that I've ever done. And it was one of those things where it was the first time, again, I was infusing like Filipino, Asian fusion flavors together in one box. And I think that like pork floss was something I was like, oh yeah, like, you know, like we have bacon, we have, you know, bacon and maple and all these things that people have already been doing. But I think pork floss is like underrated in terms of usage in desserts. And I love getting like pork floss buns from different like bakeries in Chinatown and everything. And so it just made sense to me to like add it on top of like a brownie just for a hit of umami. But yeah, that was a really special recipe to do. And I think that for when you're thinking about doing treat boxes, and especially when you're just doing things in volume, I love to do more of like drop cookies and brownies and blondies because their bar desserts are kind of easier to cut and distribute and to make more of faster and, you know, in bigger quantities. And so that was a big reason why I wanted to a brownie, especially that, just to be like, okay, I know it's like an easy thing to make a brownie, but let's try to like up the flavors. And that's what came out of it.
I have this fantasy of making chocolate chip cookies, kind of like your adobo chocolate chip cookies, but adding D-lease on top.
Yes.
Like a little dried. Okay. Thanks.
Mark,
that's all
is
I
like,
needed
what
was
is that
confirmation.
Okay,
yeah, I am like, what is that?
D-lease are like,
it's okay.
They're like little fried anchovies.
Yes.
And you kind of eat them like chips. They're like little snacks.
Right.
But I've always had this like fantasy of putting like a little crunchy D-lease on top of a chocolate chip cookie.
Are they fried anchovies like the Korean style where they're sort of sweet?
No, they're not. Well, they come sweet. I've seen sweet and spicy ones.
I mean, the Korean ones are like, you know, sesame, soy.
Right.
Chili, yeah, these are just garlic, and some sugar. Definitely there's sugar in there.
Fried salt.
Yeah, no, it's fun because it's kind of the same application where you would put that, like you put some dillis on some like arroz caldo, which is the savory rice porridge, but champurrado is like the sweet rice porridge. But that also gets like a lot of times like fish on top. So that's like a normal thing where it's like, what is the name of the fish again, Holly, that's on top of champurrado a lot? It's like the mackerel.
Yeah.
It's a...
I don't know the name.
There's like a spicy... I know what you're talking about. There's a smoked mackerel that's usually on top of tinapa.
Of
there's
chocolate tinapa. Flavor. Yes. Yeah.
Tinapa on top of champurrado is like a way that people normally eat this, where it's like, we're not riffing or doing any fusion or anything. This is what people actually eat champurrado.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So,
I mean, you think about rice puddings and rice porridges in general, and you think, yeah, it's very easy to switch between sweet and savory.
Yeah.
All right. I'm putting fish on a cookie.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to see.
Can't wait.
It's going to be so good.
We will be right back. So stay tuned for more from Abby, Holly, and me.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Have you ever bought something, owned something that really inspired you to up your game? A tennis racket, a new pair of running shoes, a new piece of cooking equipment that made you just want to cook your brains out? I know that when I first started cooking on induction burners, I just couldn't stop. It was so much fun. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Some of the features that are available on this car include Dynamic Sky Panorama Glass Roof, Front Row Massaging Seats, you know you want that, available 33-inch all-terrain tires, which you will want when you check out the Multi-Terrain Select. These are really great features, the kind of features that will make you proud and happy to own a Lexus GX. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Hi, folks. We have a new sponsor and an interesting one. We all take about 20,000 breaths a day, and Americans spend about 90% of our time indoors. That indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. And indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So, what's the solution? Introducing Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants, so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code BITMAN, B-I-T-T-M-A-N, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to our listeners, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use the promo code BITMAN.
Which sweets in the book would you consider are the must-tries? I'll tell you what mine are.
Oh, okay. This is really fun.
Which recipes are you the most proud of?
Oh, my God. Okay, well, this is a hard one, but I think that in terms of like must tries, and it sounds basic because it's like what everyone is baking right now, but it's the adobo chocolate chip cookies for sure was like one of my, also one of the ones I was most proud of, just because I think there's no dessert cookbook that I could think of that is, you know, in any type or way American without talking about chocolate chip cookies, because it's one of those fundamental recipes that I like when I first started to bake, I was like, this is what I need to, you need to have your signature cookie recipe. And I think this one has really like captured a wider audience because one, the New York Times has a big, big subscriber count. But two, I think because there's something about like having a recipe where there's no need for a KitchenAid mixer and it's just by like a bowl and a rubber spatula, a whisk, and I think you're done. And I really wanted to make something super accessible for people to try. And so this is also one of those where I have a Filipino pantry essentials section in the book. But it's something where you can find all these ingredients pretty easily, even in like a general Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, regular grocery store, which some places and some recipes might, you have to kind of go out of your way to get like nata de coco or ube extracts. So that is kind of one of those major, please try this just to see. And you don't have to be the most amazing baker to try. And another must try recipe for me is more of like a traditional Filipino recipe base, which is the fiesta fruit salad. And I think fruit salad is one of those things that, again, from colonization and American influence, I think it's a Southern ambrosia salad derivation. But it's something really nice to like see how we've kind of made it our own. And for me, I wanted to, you know, do the same concept of canned fruits, but I always hated certain aspects of, you know, like the regular canned fruit or like of like fruit cocktail where there's like mushy pear and just like, yes, whatever. The mushy pear gets me every time.
Mushy and gritty at the same time.
Yes. Yes. That's the one thing where I was like, and like, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of maraschino cherries. I can live without like the really sweet, gross ones. And so I just hate them. And so I just like customized the, you know, the fruit flavors where it's like lychee and grapefruit and canned peaches. And then I add nata de coco, which are pretty much like coconut gels that are just chewy and like very, like if you've ever had like lychee jelly from like a boba stand or anything, that's exactly what they make it out of. So it has that bouncy, chewy, refreshing flavor. And I put that and ka'ong, which are sugar palm fruit. So all these like chewy, yummy flavors and textures all in one, very cold. And like, I guess it's like a great party dessert because you can, yes, feed so many people with it and just ladle it into a solo cup and everyone is happy and eats their like fruit salad. But I don't know, there's something about the recipe where, again, you only open cans where it's like, you have to try this recipe because like you, there's no excuse for anyone anymore. Like you can do this. And I do say like this one is like maybe the hardest of the three, but the Hala Hala Baked Alaska is one of the things where it's like the crown jewel of the book.
Yeah, I dog-eared that.
And it's on the cover. So I think it's like, you know, one of the recipes I knew was a showstopper, but also I think encapsulates the spirit of the book where Hala Hala already means mix in Tagalog. And I think it being a remix type of, you know, dessert cookbook, having a baked Alaska that is inspired by the flavors of Hala Hala with like a granita that has jackfruit infused in it and evaporated milk. I think there's just all the flavors and a lot of the ingredients in a Hala Hala are in this baked Alaska, but it's still like the meringue and the ice cream and the cake. So it's one of my favorite, like, I guess, ones to come up with that had a much the most fun kind of experimenting to get to that point.
My must-haves are the banana bread.
Yay! And you made it so early on.
And I made, I know, I made that banana bread immediately. The ube skillet cookie.
Ooh,
because that's just such a cute little easy bake. And the MSG brownies, because I'm a hoe for anything with MSG.
Oh my God. No, but I feel like, yeah, we're talking a lot about brownies, but Holly's brownies, especially like the black cocoa. I feel like, yeah, I love all the ones that you chose, but I'm really, yeah, the banana bread is a fun one too, where it's like, yeah, people have made banana bread so many times, but it's like, and this is another one where you can find walnuts and dates pretty easily. But it's so weird. I don't know if you ever grew up with that dessert, Holly, but it's inspired by Food for the Gods. Me neither, but I've seen it, you know, in like different, I guess like whenever you get possible bugs, sometimes people have it for the, I guess, Christmas time season. But I guess it's like because the ingredients are kind of so expensive, maybe that's why it's like a Food for the Gods kind of, you know, name for this dessert. But it is technically usually a bar dessert that is similar to maybe like a blondie with walnuts and dates inside of it. And so, yeah, I was like, oh, banana and that makes sense. It's used all that stuff in the banana bread and it turns out great.
Yeah, it sounds great. I was happy about those brownies because I love the candid use of MSG again, that like MSG's making a comeback.
And it's not even necessarily like there's this five spice Torrontés de Cassoy in the brownies. It's from another recipe that you just like studded on top. I think it just plays really well together. And the MSG is also the sensation of just like mouth wateriness that is so subtle that I think it's, again, you're not meant to taste like a boatload of MSG. That's not the point, but to just at least have a hint of it.
Right. I'm sitting here thinking about fish on cookies, actually.
I'm stuck on it too, huh? I'm ready for the pictures of that, please.
I'm going to do it today.
Okay.
I'll do it today.
I got to know, and there's another totally random question, and no one's going to know what we're talking about until you start talking about it, but I have to hear about the great weevil infestation of 2020. Oh,
I know
everybody has to hear about it, actually.
Oh, no. I know we're talking about rancid flour, but this is flour that is, you know, in the worst way when it's, like, still good flour, and then you see, like, black bugs just...
Little
like,
dots.
And I just never saw them before. And this was like the first time. And I, you know, like it's hard. At the time I had three roommates and, you know, we just have grains just kind of spilling out of every single cabinet known to man and shelf. And I was just like, what is that? And there was like, they also migrated from the bag of flour to the floor. So I was like, oh, weird. We have big ants for some reason. I don't know where they came from. And yeah, I looked into it and then I immediately went into like need all the Tupperware mode, like need all like the, you know, plastic shelves or plastic containers that actually like seal things, because I was so traumatized. I had to like throw out so much flour that I was just like, never again. I can't live like this anymore.
Right. It's funny. I don't know. I seem to have turned into the bad food guy, but it is funny because we think of grains as like lasting forever, but if you don't put stuff in containers, we get these grain moths. And then you're just like, A, you're going nuts because there's moths everywhere. And B, you know, you open a container and moths are flying out. It's gross. Anyway, this is supposed to be a food show, not a...
Holly, wait. Speak your truth. What did you deal with?
Okay, I just have one weevil story. Because you know I work at the bean farm. I work at the bean farm and I brought beans home and I didn't realize there were bean weevils.
They're bean weevils?
Oh, there are bean weevils.
What do they look like? So we know.
Like bigger versions of the flower weevils.
Mm.
And they got into my everything. And I had to bleach my life down. And I just want to say I overstand the great weevil infestation of 2020. I have endured.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry for that. The loss of so much
flour. But you got to freeze them. You got to freeze your beans. And that kills the weevils. Same thing with grains. If you freeze them.
I do freeze most of my grains, actually.
For like, I think it's like a week, it'll kill all the eggs, any larvae, and it'll kill all the weevils. So you don't necessarily have to throw it away, but you do have to sift it.
stronger.
Hard to sift beans, though. Hard to sift bugs out of beans.
Yeah, you have to pick through all the beans. Anyway, weevil.
I hope this is the excerpt you choose for our video about this weevil.
Is for sure. This is going to like lead the whole show.
Absolutely.
We're going to use this when we like submit the podcast for awards, the discussion about bugs and beans and grains. You know, last question, we ask everybody this, but we might as well all answer it. But Abby, you first. What'd you have for dinner last night?
I was so lucky. So right now I'm in Seattle and I went to Musong, which is a great Filipinx restaurant here. And yes, Chef Melissa Miranda did my Q&A moderator talk in Seattle at Book Larder on Friday. And so I had dinner at her restaurant and it is literally like in a home and it feels like everyone there is just like, it was bustling. It was so happy at like 5 p.m. I had pinak bet. Which is like this, this Filipino stewed vegetable dish. But it was really special because they like tempura fried the vegetables and they had pickled bitter melon, which adds like a bit of, acidity, but also tempers the bitterness, which I hate bitter melon actually, personally. But yeah, that was incredible. And they had like also bagoong and everything on that as well. But they also had corn babinka with like honey and malden. And a tibok-tibok, which is also in my book, but they have a dark chocolate version with a lot of pinit pig, which is like the toasted rice top.
Yeah.
But they also, I had the hamachi kinilaw, which is the ceviche. And I feel like we just ate a lot, but we had like lechon pork belly that also had bagoong of like a sauce on it. And the halibut, which had egg and tomato. And it was, the garlic fried rice, incredible. I could just like go on and on about the restaurant experience there, but everyone should check out Musong if you have a chance in Seattle.
I need to go. I've been following them forever on Instagram, so I need to make the trip.
Yes.
What'd you eat, Holly?
I had the pleasure of going to a Nancy Silverton dinner here in San Diego. She did a pop-up at a restaurant here called Cali for their 2-year anniversary. So it was like Nancy Silverton's greatest hits, which is wonderful. Got a nice Caesar salad, the orecchiette, a local swordfish piccata style, lots of roasted vegetables. It was delicious.
Sounds good. Well, so I will complete the trio of none of us doing any cooking last night. I'm at my house in Truro on Cape Cod, and I came up with my friend Johnny, who's from Seattle, actually. And then our friend Tony Pasquale, who runs a restaurant called Terra Luna here, Instagrammed that his mom was cooking. His mom cooks with him now and then. She's like 80. And he Instagrammed that his mom was making eggplant parmesan last night. And I have a thing for eggplant parmesan. I guess a lot of people do. But Tony's been threatening to, like, I'm going to tell you when my mom's coming over and we're going to make eggplant. But it hasn't happened. So quickly, I texted him and said, I'm coming, save me some. And so he went and it was really kind of awesome. Eggplant parmesan, like very, like 2 inches high and pretty straightforward layers of fried eggplant and stuff. But like the topping, which was mostly mutz, was like really hard, like brown to the point where like you needed a knife to cut it. And I really liked that. It was good. It was really good. Anyway, we're all happy. do you live in Brooklyn?
I do. I do live
in Brooklyn. I want to cook with you. Either you're going to have to come up to where we are or I'll come down. We'll figure it out.
I would love that. Let me know.
I'm sure I'd learn a lot. Be great.
I want to come too.
Yeah, well, no one asked you to move to the West Coast, so.
I'll come.
All right. We'll discuss it. All right. Cool. Well, thanks, Abby. And good luck with the book, which is awesome.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Holly. You both have been incredible to talk to. And I'm just like in shock that you want to talk to me about my little book. Oh. But it's really nice that y'all are so sweet and care so much. And I appreciate it so, so, so much. Thank you.
Abby's take on fruit salad, which I think can be seen as a sort of radical reinventioning of 50s fruit salad with the sensibilities of 70 years later. I don't know. This is not my thing, but this is really cool. Okay, so you're going to go to the supermarket and you're going to buy
a 15-ounce can of peach chunks in syrup. I bet you haven't bought one of those in a while. A 20-ounce can peeled and pitted lychees in syrup. You should be able to find those. A 20-ounce can of pineapple chunks in syrup. A 15-ounce can of red grapefruit in syrup. A 12-ounce jar of Kong in syrup. And that's palm tree fruit, but you'll find it. It's like little beans. And a 12-ounce jar of natto de coco in syrup. A 14-ounce can of sweetened condensed milk. And a cup of heavy cream. In a colander, combine all of the canned fruit. The peach chunks, the lychees, the pineapple chunks, the red grapefruit, the Kong, the nata de coco, and put that colander over the kitchen sink. Stir that lightly with a wooden spoon until all the syrup is drained out, and then put that drained fruit mixture into a large bowl. In a measuring cup or a smaller bowl, whisk together the condensed milk and the heavy cream until it's very smooth. Pour that over the fruit mixture and gently stir until it's evenly distributed. Cover with a lid and chill in the fridge for at least 4 hours, preferably overnight. Serve cold. You can keep any leftovers in the fridge for a few days. I can't wait to make this. I want to thank the dessert queen, Abby Balangit, and can't wait to cook with her. And as always, to Holly, who I'm lucky enough to work with. This is a really exciting episode for us, and we'll have more about these two women in August. Meanwhile, you can follow Abby on Instagram, at Twitter, at The Dusky Kitchen, the USKY, and Holly on Instagram, at It's Holly, and Twitter, at Yo It's Holly, YOITSHOLLY. Thank you, as always, to Kate Bittman, our producer and my co-host, and to Davis Lloyd, our engineer. And in the meantime, get your copy of Mayamu wherever you like to buy books. Subscribe to this podcast. It's called Food with Mark Bittman, in case you missed that. And check out our newsletter, The Bittman Project. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week when we will have somebody amazing. Bye for now.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.